Thank you guys all for coming late on the day. I totally appreciate having you all here. I'm going to talk a little bit about our work with Igali and then end with a quick film, and then, of course, we'll have time for questions later. Can you guys hear me in the back? Yeah, great. All right, so to start, before I jump into the program, just a little bit of context about adolescent girls around the world. There are 750 million adolescent girls between the ages of 10 and 19, and these are arguably one of the world's most marginalized populations. In terms of poverty, in terms of HIV rates, in terms of maternal mortality, these girls are basically, you know, in a really difficult position in most of their communities around the world. And even so, there's actually only 2 cents out of every $1 that's invested in global development is focused on adolescent girls. So there's a tremendous need and really not very much funding or support to address these needs. And at the same time, we know that investing in girls is an amazing return on investment. So, you know, a girl who goes to school for 7 years will get married 4 years later and have 2.2 fewer children than another girl who doesn't complete 7 years of schooling. So it's a huge difference that even just primary education can make for both the girl, her own life, the children that she will go on to have, her community, her family, and then, of course, her country as well. So within that context, we started the Adolescent Girls Advocacy and Leadership Initiative. We've been doing this work now since 2009. And basically what we do is identify leaders who have the potential to create change for girls. So it's a year-long fellowship program. I'll talk through all the different pieces of it. But just to start out, our goal is to focus on improving girls' health, education, and livelihoods and human rights by supporting advocates who are trying to improve policies, programs, and funding for adolescent girls in a few different countries in Africa and Latin America. And our fellows really come from a range of sectors. So many of them are, you know, in civil society, NGOs, executive directors, deputy directors. Some are working in media, in advocacy. Some are policymakers. Some work for the UN. And what we really try to do is bring together people from this range of different sectors who can both teach and learn from one another about what works for improving girls' lives, as well as really come together to develop a multi-sectoral approach to improve outcomes for girls. So the process starts out with an intensive week-long training workshop. So during the first half of this week, our fellows come together, they learn all about the needs of girls, the challenges facing girls, what the political and legal frameworks are for girls in their countries. And what we've seen actually is that our fellows are amazing in the direct service work that they do with girls, but that often they have very little experience with what advocacy is. And so in many of the countries that we're working in, advocacy means protest. So it's, you know, going out, making, you know, signs and having a march, which sometimes is the most effective way to get things done, but not always. And so what we're really doing is helping them to learn about different advocacy strategies so that in addition to doing this amazing direct service with girls, they can actually change the legal system and therefore directly benefit a much larger group of girls than they would be able to if they were just doing the direct service piece. So first half of the training is that, kind of learning the overall issues. The second half, they actually develop their own advocacy strategy. So what they do is kind of look at the needs in country, look at their own strengths as a leader, and then the strengths of their organization, and think about what's the best marriage of those two. So kind of doing a SWOT analysis, a lot of political mapping, and coming up with a very concrete advocacy strategy to improve a specific policy or law that would benefit girls' health, education, or human rights. So when they graduate from the program, they go back to their organization, they finalize these strategies that they've developed, and then actually submit those to us for funding. So we're able to provide limited seed funding to sort of the best of the proposals that are developed in each country. And we provide that ongoing funding. It's a year-long funding cycle, but we've been able to provide up to 3 years of support for some of those grants, as well as technical assistance to make sure that their work is as effective as it can be. Because oftentimes, you know, if the government changes, sort of the key players change, the laws regress, as we know from our own country context here in the U.S., and so, you know, helping them to kind of deal with those challenges as they arise. So we also have kind of this broader umbrella of sustained support. So we do institutional strengthening workshops, which are basically these two-day workshops every 6 months, so that all the graduates of our program come back together and learn about specific skills that they identify as priorities. So one thing I should say about the program is it's very experiential and very hands-on. So like in that top upper picture, we did an institutional strengthening workshop on media advocacy because our fellows decided that was something they really wanted to learn, how to engage the media on adolescent girls' issues. So we did a one-day training on, you know, how you do media advocacy. And the second day, The fellows actually led their own press conference and then did interviews with local media. So that just gives you a sense of, you know, we really want people to just apply immediately what they're learning so that they can actually both have an impact and also really strengthen those skills. We also do, we support our fellows to do direct outreach with girls and grassroots organizations. So what we've seen is that our fellows, like I've said, are already doing amazing work with girls. And so by the time they've graduated from this program, they're really the experts in their countries on how to do advocacy with and for girls. So we provide them with funding to go out and engage larger groups of girls as well as grassroots organizations to try to create a broader movement within each of these countries for girls. And then the last piece is field building. And so what we've seen is that in many of the countries, not even the policymakers know what the policies are. And so what we've done is actually identify what are the key policies that affect girls currently. So like here's an example of the Malawi National AIDS policy. And we've basically created a policy brief that lays out in layman's terms what the policy is, what it could be, what it should be in order to ensure that girls are protected. And this is a tool that our fellows use in doing their direct advocacy with policymakers. So this is our model, which is kind of an eye chart. But basically, the top squares are what I just described of the different strategies that we do. These are kind of our specific achievements in the upside-down triangle, which I'll talk about in terms of increased resources for advocacy, improved laws and policies, adolescent girls who are empowered to advocate for themselves. And then down here, sort of the longer-term outcomes that we're working toward. So we're focused on MDGs 2, 3, and 5, decreased maternal mortality, parity in education, sort of these bigger picture global issues of equity for girls. So in terms of achievements, we've got 89 fellows who've graduated from our program in the five countries. And they have actually, through their own direct outreach that I mentioned, have reached over 40,000 girls with leadership, empowerment, training, as well as over 1,600 grassroots organizations in the five countries. And then one of the things that we're really excited about is our fellows in a couple of countries have decided that they wanted to create their own national network to advocate for girls. So what they decided was, you know, they were each doing advocacy work kind of on their own and could improve it, but that if they were able to collaborate more effectively, they would actually be able to have a much, much greater impact. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But so in terms of some of our specific results, we're really, really excited. And I have to say, the seed grants that we award are $10,000, so it's not a whole lot of money. And at the same time, our fellows have been able to do amazing policy work and advocacy and have amazing success. So, you know, focused on new policies to promote teen pregnancy prevention, new national sexual violence protocols, so ensuring that girls who are victims of violence get specialized care and treatment, as well as prevention of ongoing continued violence. One program I'm really excited about is a model of involving indigenous girls in doing actual policy mapping. So this is in the western rural highlands of Guatemala, where girls basically have zero access to education or health services. And this one organization, one of our fellows applied for a grant and received funding to basically train a group of young indigenous girl leaders between the ages of 9 and 15 to analyze what the policies were in their own community and actually advocate with the mayor of their town to get a budgetary allocation for girl-friendly both health and education services. So it was pretty amazing to me. Like when we funded this one, I was like, I love that idea. You know, who knows if it'll ever happen. But it was really exciting to see that they were able to do this work. And it's at a small, you know, level in one district, but we're really excited about the potential to expand it. In Honduras, we had this national network, like I mentioned. So our fellows came together and decided to create a national network focused on advocating for comprehensive sex ed through the Ministerial Declaration Prevention Through Education. So they've made a lot of really exciting headway that we're really thrilled with. And then in Africa, we've had a passage of a national children's law. That's what the video is about, so I won't talk about that. But we'll just say that's Ellen Sirleaf receiving the new law up there. And then here in Malawi, our fellows, again, came together and decided they want to form their own network focused on child marriage and eradicating child marriage. And so that's the logo down there, the Adolescent Girls Advocacy Network. And they just actually had a national forum on child marriage where they brought together over 100 policymakers to learn about the issues in terms of child marriage. And they're hoping and they're advocating and pushing to get a new bill reintroduced that would increase the age of marriage from 15 to 18, actually by December. So we have our fingers crossed that that'll come through. So let's see how we are in terms of time. So in terms of lessons learned, one of the key things I think about this program is that we really adapt the model to the fellows, both priorities, needs, and context. So we never go in and say, you know, in Ethiopia, the big problem is economic empowerment, so that's what you should focus on. What we really have actually is just a model of here's how you can create policy change, and they identify what the key issues are and really focus the most strategic of their efforts to make sure that they're able to create that change. So I think that's a really key piece of the work. Similarly, being able to provide ongoing grant support, not just 1 year, but ideally 3 and at the very least 2 years, is really crucial, because often what we see is that advocacy is really new for these folks, and so during the first year they kind of jump in and are excited but then hit a bunch of walls. And so being able to provide them with both the technical assistance and the ongoing funding is where they have the major success, is often in the second and third year. So similar, long-term investment. Grassroots advocacy can really lead to policy change. One thing that we've been excited in Malawi is, in addition to sort of this national high-level advocacy, is actually having one of our fellows who's a chief. He's our only fellow who's a chief, but he was really interested in learning about adolescent girls. And so when he applied, he decided that his advocacy would focus on educating other chiefs at the village level about child marriage. And so through his work, he's actually been able to convince all these other chiefs in this one particular area of Malawi to make it so that men who marry women, girls really, under the age of 15, their land is taken away from them. So it's a very real, very concrete impact. So it's not just having sort of this national pie-in-the-sky policy, but actually very direct, concrete impacts on people's lives. And then we've actually seen a lot of really interest and demand to expand the model to other issues. So supporting more budgetary advocacy as well as economic empowerment, and then really, like I said, expanding into this area of child marriage. So I want to make sure we have time. I have no relationships to disclose.